Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody, especially the visitors that we have. It's nice to see the Lunsfords again. We've got a number of other visitors with us today. We're very glad that you came to worship with us. And if there's anything that we can do for you, if you need a ride back to where you're staying or whatever, we would love to help you in any way we can. Well, I hope you all had a safe and enjoyable 4th of July. It was the 200, as Don said, the 250th anniversary. Many of us in this auditorium this morning remembers the 200th, the bicentennial. There's only a couple. I think Dick remembers the 150th, but Dick and Kurt, they remember the back. But I don't know about you. I don't know if it was fireworks or my street sounded like the gunfight at the OK Corral out there. There were some loud ones. But it did remind me lately, the last few months, and hopefully continuing on, just how much pride and patriotism I've been seeing in our community. The flags that are up, you know, you drive down the street and you see homes with flags displayed, red, white, and blue everywhere. Even the little convenience store we stop at, their cups are red, white, and blue. But getting into the act for this 250th birthday of our nation. And we're going to be talking about today our citizenship in this great nation, and more importantly, our citizenship as Christians. 250 years ago, our forefathers, they did a very bold thing in declaring independence, cutting political ties with England. And those 56 men that signed that declaration, they were signing their death warrant, because if any of them would have been caught, they would have been tried as traitors against England and they would have been executed. Today, we look back at the Declaration of Independence and are still inspired today, 250 years later, with some of the words that Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration, that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Wonderful words. It's inspired countless generations of people since then. Not to take anything away from Thomas Jefferson, Paul kind of penned some words a little ahead of Thomas Jefferson back in the first century, thinking about this. In Romans 2, verse 11, Paul would write to the Romans, reminding them that for there is no partiality with God. God is the great equalizer. God knows no gender, no income level, race, age. There is no partiality with God. He reminded the Galatians in Galatians 3:28. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Those words have been inspiring people of different cultures, of different generations, ever since the first century. A year before we declared independence, you had some fiery people that many considered radicals. You had people like Patrick Henry addressing the House, the Virginia House of Burgesses in March of 1775, And he makes the great proclamation, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. I'm reminded of what Joshua said. Another proclamation. He says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Just a personal proclamation that he was going to stand on, that he and his house will be God-fearing and will serve the Lord. Our forefathers, people like Washington, Thomas Jefferson that wrote the Declaration, Richard Henry Lee, who actually verbally was the first to propose independence. People like Patrick Henry, John Adams. They have been inspiring Americans ever since. I see online, when I go on the computer, countless quotes and I think you call them memes. I'm not sure. I'm not very computer savvy. But I'll see these things, the quotes attributed to Washington and Jefferson and so forth about liberty and freedom. And they have inspired people. And then I was thinking about Hebrews 12, verse 1, where the Hebrew writer says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There have been so many gallant Christians, some that we don't even know the names, that just by continuing faithful day after day have inspired, encouraged, going from our Sunday morning Bible class, they've taught, they've trained, and they've modeled Christian behavior. And we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses recorded in the Bible, surrounded by people that we know that have inspired us to live that faithful and that faithful life, and to keep on that road to heaven. When so many others stumble and leave, there are so many witnesses that we have that are showing us the way. A few years after we declared independence and have won our independence in the war, our founding fathers developed our Constitution. And so important was the freedom of religion that it was included in the First Amendment, that our government will not infringe upon our right to worship. Well, God, we have the right to worship Him. We have the command to worship Him. We have the right to remain obedient, regardless of circumstance, regardless of personal situation. We have the obligation to serve and to worship Him. In Matthew 6, 33, Jesus addressed the crowd on what we refer to as the Sermon on the Mount. And he told us what our obligation was. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God. First and foremost, seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus had just been talking about the earthly needs that we have to have food. We have to be clothed. But Jesus was saying, don't worry about those things. Seek first God. And all those other things will fall into place. We not only have the right and the freedom that the Constitution says, the right to worship. God gives us the command to worship. John 3:16-17, one of the most quoted and used passages ever. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That shows us our obligation to serve him. God has done so much for us. Jesus has done so much for us by giving his life as a sacrifice that we could not come up with one. We could work until we're blue in the face and not have a sacrifice sufficient that Jesus provided. And we have, when God gives us that command and obligation to serve him, he's got every right to impose that on us because he paid the ultimate. 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter, kind of tells us why. Peter tells us why we should obey because he reminds us, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. I want to pause right there. Some of us, he's been more long-suffering than others. He's put up with my shenanigans for a long time, waiting for me, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves us so much, he's giving us time. He's given each one of us, those of us that have been baptized, he gave us enough time to straighten ourselves out, to come to the knowledge of the Lord, and to put our Lord on in baptism. He's given us, I don't want to count on that good nature of him for very long because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But Peter reminds us he loves us enough and he's given us time to repent. Philippians 3:20, the title of our lesson about our citizenship. Been in the news quite a bit about how many people yearn to come to the United States. I don't see a lot of people clamoring to go to other countries, clamoring, lining up in long lines to go to X, Y, or Z country. They're wanting to come here. Paul reminds us in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where our citizenship is. As great as it is to be an American, as great as it is to be a citizen of the United States, more than that, our citizenship is in heaven. Paul addressed this idea of citizenship, not only here, but personally. When he was arrested and mistreated And it got to the ears of the commanding officer that they mistreated and violated the rights of a Roman citizen. Oh man, I hope it doesn't get to the higher ups because we could be in trouble. I see these people, you know, I know my rights. I know, well, most of them don't, but they say, I know my rights. We have rights. Paul had rights. People during the Roman Empire had rights. And he was talking in Acts 22 to that Roman commander, and the commander answered, with a large sum, I obtained this citizenship. And Paul said, but I was born a citizen. There was different ways to acquire Roman citizenship. The Roman commander, some people bought their citizenship. They paid money. Some were born into it. Well, Paul said our citizenship is in heaven. We can't buy our citizenship. We're not even born into it. We can't save up enough to buy our citizenship in heaven. We're not born into it. Well, we can't ride mom or grandpa's coattails into heaven. We get our citizenship when we're baptized. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and let each of you be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's when we're saved. That's when we get our citizenship into Christ. We're buried with him in baptism. Acts 2:41, it said, then those who gladly received the word were baptized. Not everybody accepted that word, and they chose not to obey the gospel. And in Acts 2:47, it says, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord gives us our citizenship when we're baptized. Those of us that have put our Lord on in baptism, we are citizens of heaven. We have that citizenship. We didn't buy it. We weren't born into it. We received it when we obeyed the gospel. Those of us that are citizens of heaven, we've obeyed the gospel. I'm going to close the message and leave you with a question. And maybe there's people online listening to this. Will you be baptized today and declare yourself free from sin and give your allegiance to Jesus? If you have not been baptized, you're not a citizen of heaven. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. Just like we as Americans, we declared our independence and we're free from England. And we gave our allegiance now to the United States of America. When we're baptized, we're making that great proclamation. We're allied with Christ. And we're going to be loyal to him. And we're going to be baptized to gain that citizenship. If you need to put on your Lord in baptism today, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin in your life, Don's getting ready to lead us in the invitation song. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing. Don?